Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
I'm Anthony Brooks. Up next, a century after its American debut in Boston, the Abbey Theater returns with a new production. But first, I'm joined in the studio by All Things Considered host Sasha Pfeiffer. Hi, Sasha.
Hi, Anthony.
What's up today?
I want to mention three things. One is that we're going to hear a story about a do-it-yourself plan for saving endangered plants. And I'm just going to leave it at that. You'll find out how to do that yourself later. Second, Omar Gayaga, who reviews technology for All Things Considered, is going to be reviewing storybook apps for the iPad. The twist here is he's going to be reviewing them with his 3-year-old daughter. So that's one I'm looking forward to hearing. Mm-hmm. And then a more local story. Today there was a kickoff of a public policy campaign at the Massachusetts State House to try to reverse the problem of so-called food deserts, where some low-income communities have no grocery stores where you can get healthy food. So we're going to hear about that kickoff and other efforts under the way to make our communities healthier.
Okay, that's the big show. That's All Things Considered, coming up with WBUR Sasha Pfeiffer, and that's in about 15 minutes. Thanks, Sasha, for coming in.
You're welcome. Boston has a long connection with the dramatic realities of Irish history. It also has a long connection with Irish drama. It was 100 years ago that Boston was chosen for the American debut of The Abbey, now the Irish National Theatre Company. It was co-founded in 1903 by William Butler Yeats.
A lot depends for him on whim, my own. Knife honed and keen, whatever way I lean, come time could dictate his living or dying.
So fast forward 100 years and you get that. That is a piece of poetic monologue from a new Abbey production of Terminus, written by the young Irish playwright Mark O'Rourke. So one century after the Abbey made its debut at the Boston's Plymouth Theatre, the company is back performing at the Paramount main stage. Terminus opens tomorrow night at Arts Emerson. Joining us now to talk a little bit more about Terminus and the Abbey's return to Boston is Rob Orchard. He's the executive director of Arts Emerson. Welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you. Delighted to be here.
Also with us is Fiach McConnell. I knew I was going to... Did I get that right?
You got it right.
I did? Magna,
yeah.
Oh, fabulous. He's director.
Well, both of us have wonderful surnames, you and I, okay?
I know.
So we can have a whole linguistic chapter on that alone.
That will be a future episode of Radio Boston, I'm sure. But Fiach is director and CEO of the Abbey Theatre in Ireland. A true pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much.
So why don't we start with you? Tell us a little bit about Terminus and what's it all about.
Oh, it's an extraordinary, powerful play. I tell you, the play was written in 2007 as one in our season, and it's already traveled quite a lot around the world. It won a major prestigious award at the Edinburgh Festival because of its because it was a new play. And it's a, how to put it, it's in one way it's a verse play. It's a play which is entirely in rhyme, and it's extraordinary. Three intercutting monologues about a kind of a Faustian pact, a journey through the city, a journey through the kind of the nightlife of Dublin City. But it's done in rap sometimes, it's done in iambic pentameter, and it's a visceral, exciting kind of dangerous trip through Dublin nightlife.
Rap and iambic pentameter.
You've got it. In the way, and bizarrely, you know, W.B. Yeats, our founder, was very well known for writing verse play. And this is a verse play, but it's a contemporary twist. And anybody who's interested in music or in rap or indeed, Faustian pacts, they've got to come down to the Paramount and see this play.
It sounds truly, truly intriguing. Rob Orchard, let me ask you, why is it that Terminus, it's one of three plays, I understand.
It's part of an Irish festival, which includes not only three anchor plays, including last week's performances of the Druid Theatre and the Cripple of Inishmond, but a new play that's also running now called The Color of Rose, about Rose Kennedy. In addition to which, we have readings and films, and we're doing a reading of a new play by Marina Carr that was actually premiered at the Abbey Theatre a few years ago called Marble, tonight at 7 indeed. So it's a whole range of immersion, if you will, in Irish culture. In America's most Irish city.
And so is that the reason why you decided to choose Ireland for this festival? I mean, obviously there's that long history, but is there a continued interest today in Irish drama here?
Well, there is with me, and I hope that it will extend into the community. Clearly, Irish literature has influenced a great deal of our thinking and our writing today, including most specifically Irish humor. So I don't think there's ever too much of an Irish showcase in Boston. And to be able to have the Abbey Theatre here this week is really a great distinction and a great honor.
Fiach, tell me, in 1911, when the Abbey decided to make its debut here in Boston, was it because of Boston's already deep history with Ireland at that time? Or?
Well, it was about money. Okay, let's be frank about it. What happened was Annie Horniman, who was one of the patrons of the Abbey Theatre, who in fact bought the lease on the theatre in Dublin so that the place could survive, she withdrew her funding because there was a state funeral of one of the royal family of Britain, and the Abbey Theatre didn't close its theatre as a mark of respect, so she withdrew her funding. So there's no funding left. The state wasn't supporting the Abbey. So W.B. Yeats looked to the U.S. and said, look, we need to start touring. We need to start doing advanced lecture tours so that actually the Abbey could make money to sustain its work at home. But what had happened, not only did the Abbey raise money on its, you know, amazing tour, and it started in the fall of 1911, but there was a kind of a culture exchange. And as Rob said, throughout the 20th century, Irish theatre and US theatre have been inextricably linked. You know, without the Abbey coming to the US, Eugene O'Neill wouldn't have seen the wonderful work of the Abbey, and therefore he wouldn't have started writing his own version and his own kind of his own plays. And of course, we know that Sam Shepard had a great was influenced by Samuel Beckett, and we know that Martin McDonagh was influenced by Sam Shepard. So throughout the 20th century, you can see the influences toing and froing across the Atlantic between Ireland and the US.
And what is it, Rob, that Arts Emerson hopes to, I guess, continue that toing and froing with this partnership between Arts Emerson and the Abbey?
Well, more generally, Arts Emerson is focused on bringing work from around the world to the city of Boston that likely would not ever see the light of day here, were it not for these four new theaters. And when we do that, when we can find if you will, a cluster of work from a particular culture, we'll build a festival around it. And it just happened that the Abbey was touring Terminus this year, and that the Druid was touring The Cripple of Inishmon. I was able to get them together, and from that we built a festival.
Let me ask both of you this question. Is there, maybe it's less of a challenge with Irish drama because there is such familiarity with Irish literary history here, but are there any special challenges that you have in staging an Irish play in Boston in terms of language or background or anything in particular like that?
Well, I mean, I commend what Rob is doing, because what he's doing, he's challenging what people might see as a traditional view of what Irish theatre is. So when you see the work of Martin McDonagh, and as you'll see this week with the work of Marco Rowe, what you're seeing is a contemporary, urgent, visceral, exciting way of how language is used. And I suppose what Irish theatre always introduces to English international theatre is how language can be subversive, can be reinvented. And I think that's something between Martin McDonagh and in particular Marco Rowe, Boston audiences will experience.
Rob, your thoughts on that?
Well, I agree. I think the audiences might also think, will I be able to penetrate the brogue? Will I be able to understand the language? And the fact of it is that it's so beautiful. It may take you 5 or 10 minutes to get your mind wrapped around the cadences and the rhythms of it all. But once you get it, it's probably one of the most profound experiences I think you'll have. The language is just exquisite.
Hmm. And Fiach, you mentioned that I actually didn't know that Yeats had written so much verse drama as well. But I understand that this year his work actually finally enters the public domain. And so no need to actually deal with rights issues anymore. Does the Abbey have plans on doing things with this huge body of work of its founder now?
Oh, yes. I mean, over the last 2 years, Magna, we have what's called a Yeats Studio, where we're doing a lot of R&D work he wrote about 26 plays, of which half of them, I think, are world classics. And what we've done is working with younger theatre makers in video. I mean, if Yeats was alive today, he'd be using live streaming, he'd be using, video, internet. I mean, he was a radical innovator, and that was an extraordinary thing about Yeats. He was a Nobel laureate. He founded the Abbey Theatre. He was a senator. He was a mystic, but he was able to push the boundaries. And what the Abbey Theatre continues to do and has to do, as his vision, is to continue to push the boundaries. And the link is that when you see Marco Rowe's play, you will understand that an image of Ireland is not necessarily one about heritage, but about moving forward and about contemporary Ireland.
Okay, so Fiach, one more question about the Abbey in Dublin right now. And I'm sorry to needle you about this, but you know how you said the 1911 debut in Boston was because of money. Is money an issue now? And because the Irish economy has kind of taken a bit of a major nosedive. So is the Abbey doing all right? Or is this a way of helping keep the company afloat by spreading globally?
Well, I mean, there's two reasons why we're in Boston. One is culture exchange, and two is to continue to further the work of a writer like Mark O'Rourke. It's very important that we introduce and continue to get to know each other's community between Boston and Ireland, between America and Ireland. It's very important that we exchange ideas, exchange information. And Rob kindly invited us here as well. I'm saying no more.
My pleasure.
Rob, this is the inaugural season.
Right, we just started in September.
And so how's it been going so far?
It's going very, very well. With each performance, we get more and more, build more and more awareness and build our audiences. I think the big challenge is for people to know that we're there. And we're doing 18 projects this year. We're bringing work from all over the world. It's a great opportunity for audiences to experience a transformed neighborhood. The theater district, where we now share along the street with the Opera House and with the Modern Theater that just opened. So it's quite exciting to see not only a burgeoning neighborhood, but also a whole range of new work in our culture that people have previously not had a chance to experience.
But you said you still are facing a challenge in letting people know that you're actually there. Have you been able to fill seats?
Yes, okay, yes, absolutely, good. Absolutely. But most of the work that we're doing is there just for a week. So people have to be attentive to the fact that when the Abbey is here, they're starting tomorrow night and they're closing on Sunday. So it's just a few days worth of opportunity. So we do have to get people to get their metabolism in sync with these very short, unfortunately short runs. But as we grow, the next time the Abbey is here, we'll probably do 2 or 3 weeks.
You mentioned another play that's part of this Irish festival, The Color of Rose.
The Color of Rose.
About Rose Kennedy.
Right.
Tell us a little bit more about that one.
Well, it's a lovely little play centered on Rose Kennedy. The conceit of the play is she's in a hotel room waiting to be interviewed. She didn't like giving interviews, so she's debating with her middle-aged self and her younger self what she should and what she shouldn't say, how she goes through the tragedy and triumphs of that family and debates with her middle-aged self and her younger self about what's appropriate, what's inappropriate. And it's very moving. It's interesting because the Kennedy family is probably one of the most transparent families in America. And yet this play is seen through the prism of the one person in the family who was probably the most opaque. So you get an opportunity to re-experience a lot of the range of history of that family that we all know, but now we're experiencing it through her eyes. And I find it very moving because it's a different journey, and you realize at the end that family was so blessed with having that woman as its anchor.
Fia, last question to you. What's your favorite thing about performing in Boston?
Well, you'll tell it tomorrow night. The proudest thing for us is to bring a living Irish writer to this city, and that's something we're very proud of.
Well, that's Fiach McEnail.
Perfect, Megna.
He's director and CEO of Ireland's Abbey Theatre. It's the National Theatre of Ireland. Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
And Rob Orchard, executive director of Arts Emerson. Pleasure to have you back.
Thank you.
Mark O'Rourke's Terminus opens tomorrow night, February 8th, at Art Emerson's Paramount main stage. There's a lot more information on that at our website, wbur.org/Boston.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at Boston.com.
Our show is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Alpert, and Dan Mozzie. Our interns are Jason Breslow and Amory Sivertson.
Jeremy Burnfield is our web producer. Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks.
Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.